Our text is taken from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In our analysis of this parable, we have in verse 9 an introduction. The parable is a lesson spoken to those who were self-righteous and despised the rest of men. In verse 10, we are introduced to two men, one a Pharisee and the other a publican or tax collector. In verses 11 through 13, we have two prayers, one filled with self-righteousness, the other filled with humility. In verse 14, we have two results. The Pharisee returned home unaffected. The publican returned home justified before God. Then we find in verse 14 a conclusion concerning self-exaltation and humility. In our rather lengthy study of this parable up to this point in time, in verse 9 we considered the sin of self-righteousness and the self-deception that follows. In verse 10 we introduced two men of diverse character who went to attend public worship. And we made some general observations on the necessity and the nature of attending the public worship of God. Then we began a study on the subject of prayer. We noted how we ourselves learn to pray from the Scriptures, from tradition, and from the example of others, much in the same way that these two men evidently had learned to pray. We then gave an extended analysis and description of the subject of prayer. We have studied the presuppositions of prayer, and we have closely considered the model prayer of Matthew 6, which our Lord gave to us as a template for private prayer. We closed this entire study with several general observations on the subject of prayer, including our last study, in which we considered this all-important issue, does prayer change things? And we, by necessity, had to explore the relationship between divine predestination and prayer. We now, in our study, approach these two diverse individuals and their prayers. In this present message, we want to divide it into two parts. First, a comparison of these two men. Now, the entire parable is a contrast, but I want to make a comparison, a five-fold comparison of these men, and then we will note a nine-fold contrast between them. First, then, a comparison of these two men. We note first that both attended public worship. This is what they had in common. Neither were neglectful of their religion. Both of them practiced what they believed to be the truth. Although diverse in character, they attended worship at the same place, at the same time, and for the same purpose. Second, both were identified with the covenant people of God. Both were Jews. Both had been circumcised and so bore the covenant sign. Yet how different they were in their deportment, in their attendance to public worship. It is possible to have mere traditional religion. Note that there is nothing wrong with their religion. Their religion was the religion of Scripture. Their religion was based upon divine revelation. There was nothing wrong with their religion. They had true religion, but the Pharisee held it in a merely traditional way. The fault with the Pharisee is that he did not have truth. He had tradition. We may have the truth, and our children will only inherit tradition unless God truly converts them and they know the heart reality of true religion. The publican, despite his many sins and faults, had come to heart terms with the reality of true religion. And thus we see the diversity in their prayers. The third thing they had in common is that neither man was a hypocrite. It is common to think of the Pharisee in this parable as a hypocrite, but that he was not. He was utterly sincere, as was the publican. Both men, we find, prayed from their hearts. They were emptying themselves, as it were, in prayer. These are men who were serious. They did not merely say their prayers, but they prayed from their heart. They did not pray only the set prayers, quotations from Scripture, or set in liturgical means, but they prayed from their hearts, individual prayers. Neither man was a hypocrite. The Pharisee, however, was completely self-deceived in his own righteousness. The publican had been horribly awakened to a sense of sin and his need of forgiveness, and therein is their diversity. In the fourth place, both stood apart by themselves. The Pharisee stood close to the front of the court of Israel in the fullness of his pride. The publican stood just inside, at the back of the court, filled with a sense of shame. In Herod's temple, there were several courts. The large outer court was the court of the Gentiles. Anyone could come here, including the uncircumcised and the Greeks. Here were the money changers. Here were their tables. Here they sold sheep and oxen and doves for sacrifices. The court of the Gentiles. The next court in was the court of the women, which had the treasury. Here is where our Lord taught. Our Lord was never exclusive to the men of Israel. He taught in the court of the women so that men and women both might have access to Him. Then where no woman could enter was the court of Israel, where only the men could pray. And then within this precinct was the court of the priests, that only the priests could enter. The Pharisee stood at the very beginning, at the very front of the court of Israel, as close as he could get to the most holy place. He stood there ostentatiously. He stood there with precision in his movements. He assumed his stance and began to pray. In contrast, the publican, standing afar off, was barely within the precinct of the court of Israel, standing barely within the door, filled and bowed down with the sense of his sin. And then finally, both were completely taken up with themselves. The Pharisee, of course, in a negative sense. He was literally full of himself, full of self-congratulation. The publican was completely overcome with a sense of his own personal sin. And so both men were completely self-possessed with the issues of their heart and their mind. It is amazing to find out how much these two men had in common despite the diversity of their characters. But now to the contrast. And here we see the real fullness of this parabolic teaching. First, there is a marked contrast between their attitudes, and this is denoted in the very wording of the text. The Pharisee stood thus and prayed. The word stood this is literally having taken his stand. It's an aorist participle. It anticipates the imperfect verb that follows it. The Pharisee, having taken his stand or assumed the position, lifting his hands up to heaven and looking into heaven in a very pious manner, began to pray. He's the picture of religiosity. He's the picture of a pious individual. He's the very epitome of what Judaism meant to be. Clean garments. untrimmed beard, eyes upturned to heaven, hands reaching out to God. Outwardly, he's the very epitome of Orthodox religion. Contrast this with the publican. The publican, far off, continuing to stand. The perfect tense is used there. Far off, emphatically, he continued to stand with his head bowed and smiting upon his breast and repeating again and again and again. So the language notes, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. This is the diversity in attitude. One assumes that he's completely acceptable before God. The other is pleading for acceptance and reconciliation. In the second place, the Pharisee was considered by all to be reverent and pious and godly. The Pharisee, the very name itself, means the separated one. These maintain separation even from their own people. The Am Haaretz, the people of the earth, the common people of the day, lest they should come in contact with anyone and experience ceremonial defilement. They were the separated ones. The publican was considered an apostate, one who had gone over to the enemy and become an agent for the hated Roman government. It is possible even in our day to be a Pharisee. The word Pharisee, as we said, means a separated one. It is possible to be a Pharisee because Phariseeism simply is separation without the Holy Spirit. It is a legalism. It is asceticism. It is a religion that is characterized essentially by negativism. I do not eat this. I do not drink that. I do not go there. And I do not associate with those people. And that could well describe even a fundamentalist today. A fundamentalist Christian who says, I know I'm a Christian because I don't do this, I don't drink that, I don't go there, and I don't associate with those people. But unless one has saving faith in Jesus Christ and rests entirely in His righteousness alone, he or she is nothing more than a Pharisee. Separation without the Holy Spirit, separation without sanctification, legalism and asceticism are not true spirituality. In the third place, the Pharisee had no true God consciousness. The publican, by contrast, was filled with a terrifying consciousness of a holy, righteous, just God. And so he pled for reconciliation through the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat. Fourth, the Pharisee was disturbed by the presence of the publican. The publican was so taken up with his own sinful state before God that he was utterly unaware of and unconcerned about anyone else. Something is terribly wrong with our hearts and minds when we are disturbed by the attendance or presence of someone else at public worship, especially if we believe ourselves to be inherently superior to this other person. This makes us indeed respecter of persons, does it not? Pride makes us inherently superior in the presence of those that we take in our own way to be open sinners. No compassion, no understanding, no rejoicing that they come under the influence of preaching or the true worship of God. No prayer for their conversion or a change in their life. Simply a condemnation. James writes to believers, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? And this is exactly what's taking place in the mind of the Pharisee. He despises everyone else and he judges them in the worst possible way. The fifth contrast. The Pharisee had no consciousness of sin, and so no need of grace, no need of forgiveness, no need of mercy. His prayer can really not be called a prayer. The publican, by contrast, was filled with the sense of his awful sinfulness before God, before a righteous, just, and holy God. And so we find him begging for mercy. God, be propitiated to me by the blood on the mercy seat. Sixth, the Pharisee measured himself by other men. not at their best, but at their worst. The publican had evidently measured himself not by other men, but by the perfect moral law of God, found himself to be utterly sinful, and was pleading for God's mercy on the basis of blood sacrifice. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, Hebraios ex Hebraion, pure undiluted blood from my mother's side, pure undiluted Hebrew blood from my father's side, orthodox in every way, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. If you have your Greek New Testament open on your lap to Philippians 3, in this passage, there is a word that is not translated in our English Bible. And that is the word genomenos. Having become blameless. Having become blameless. It indicates a period of time when Paul, in his own thinking, as a Pharisee in his unregenerate day, he actually believed he attained unto sinless perfection before God's law. Paul is the prime example of the Pharisee described for us in this parable. We must understand, and the Pharisee did not understand this, that we live on two planes. A twofold relationship. We live on a horizontal plane, our relationship to other people. We also live in a vertical plane or a vertical relationship, and that is our relationship to God. The Pharisee was utterly blind to the realities of this vertical relationship, his relationship to God. His thankfulness was a mere formality. The publican, by contrast, was utterly consumed with the reality of this vertical relationship. He sees himself before a righteous, just, and holy God, and he's overcome with the consciousness of his sin and his condemnation, and he pleads for grace and for mercy. It is quite possible, even what we see with the Pharisee, to be outwardly religious, outwardly consistent, the very epitome of being pious and godly, and yet be very wicked in heart, mind, and soul. The seventh contrast between these men, the words of the Pharisee, as we said, could hardly be called a prayer. It was simply a recital of all of his alleged goodness, which he had earned and therefore deserved. The publican's prayer was heartfelt and desperate. The Pharisee paraded his good works before God. The publican cast himself and all his sin upon the mercy of the Lord. The eighth contrast. In his pride, arrogance, and self-righteousness, the Pharisee believed that he knew the hearts of men. He takes the divine prerogative to sit in judgment upon all men and read their hearts and inmost thoughts. He sorely judged everyone else, including this poor publican, who was pleading with God for mercy. Here was a man in the religious life and death throes of repentance and faith, and the self-righteous Pharisee knew it not. The publican had come to terms with the sinfulness of his own heart. And now the ninth and final contrast. The prayer of the Pharisee was filled with self and self-deception. If we were to count the words in our English Bible, there are 34 words in the prayer of the Pharisee, and there are five I's. Every sixth or seventh word was I, filled with self, and the first I is highly significant. Again, if you have your Greek New Testament open, you will see this. O God, I thank Thee that I am not as the rest of men. And the words I am not refer to a state of being or a condition. He implied that he had never been a sinner. He had always been separate from the rest of men. We are reminded of an anecdote in the life of Rolf Barnard, an evangelist from another generation whom we knew personally. After preaching an evangelistic meeting, a lady came up to him and said, "Brother Barnard, I never remember a time when I wasn't a Christian." And he turned to her in his southern gentlemanly way and said, "Honey, that's too long. That's too long." And certainly it is. Where is repentance? Where is faith? Where is passing from death unto life? Where is the conversion experience? Such is the Pharisee before us. He could never remember a time when he was not distinctly righteous before God and separate from all others. The emphasis here then is on self and self-congratulation, on pride in his character and devotion. His thankfulness to God was a mere formality. We can divide his prayer into two parts. In verse 11, a catalogue of his natural superiority. "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." And then in verse 12, a catalogue of his works of supererogation. These mean doing more than God requires. Works of supererogation. "I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I require." He actually thought that before God's holy law, he did more than the law required. He knew nothing of the law's true nature that reveals the sins of the heart, and that is the very thing which drove the publican to cry out for mercy before God. The publican's prayer, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner," with all of its pathos and humility, is graciously heard and answered by a forgiving God. With whom do we identify in this parable? Are we more like the Pharisee or are we like the publican? Have we come to God as sinners, bankrupt, devoid of righteousness, suing for grace, suing for peace, suing for reconciliation on the merits of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do we come to God filled with ourselves, our self-importance, our religiosity, our good works? Do we identify with the Pharisee or with the publican? Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. Jesus receives sinners. Take your place with the publican. Sue for peace through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Therein be reconciled to God. Know the demands of His law. Know that you're shut up. Know you have no righteousness of your own. And look to Jesus Christ in faith. Be saved from yourself. Be saved from your sin. Be saved from its reigning power and from its ultimate consequences. The publican went down to his house justified. And so will you. That is the very thing which drove the publican to cry out for mercy before God. The publican's prayer, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner," with all of its pathos and humility, is graciously heard and answered by a forgiving God. With whom do we identify in this parable? Are we more like the Pharisee or are we like the publican? Have we come to God as sinners, bankrupt, devoid of righteousness, suing for grace, suing for peace, suing for reconciliation on the merits of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do we come to God filled with ourselves, our self-importance, our religiosity, our good works? Do we identify with the Pharisee or with the publican? Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. Jesus receives sinners. Take your place with the publican. Sue for peace through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Therein be reconciled to God. Know the demands of His law. Know that you're shut up. Know you have no righteousness of your own. And look to Jesus Christ in faith. Be saved from yourself. Be saved from your sin. Be saved from its reigning power and from its ultimate consequences. The publican went down to his house justified, and so will you. Father, bless, we pray, the glory of Your Word, the truth that it contains. Glorify Yourself. Enable men and women, boys and girls, to savingly close with Jesus Christ. We commit this to You in His name. Amen.